This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So after a one-week hiatus, the Maryland Terrapins are now back in action against the Purdue Boilermakers this Saturday. And yeah, it seemed like Maryland football, there was a little bit of a void this Saturday, as if you're in the Mid-Atlantic looking for a Terps game.
Well, when you look at college football and what has happened in week four, so to speak, since we are currently in week five coming up, it is crazy to see everything that has transpired, I should say, in the Big Ten in college football, especially with head coaching vacancies or vacancies that are pending. Like, for example,
or like a big vacancy this past Saturday and one Les Miles.
Yeah, LSU getting shocked by Auburn in a game that was controversial in itself due to incomplete passes and whatnot. And then next thing you know, you read on the sports ticker the following day, Les Miles out as LSU head coach.
How about that, though? A high-profile coach just like that, and I remember how hyped his signing was many, many years ago.
And keep in mind, he went to two national title games, won one national title with LSU.
So he has this type of pedigree as a head coach, and he's fired after basically the third week of college football. It's amazing how knee-jerk reaction that was, especially in the high-pressure situation as the SEC. It's just, that's the landscape of college football right now, and things are, the roads of change, they are coming.
Yeah, and let's also look at Notre Dame. They are currently lacking in the talent department and the results department. I mean, even Brian Kelly went on a press conference and said, hey, look, everybody's job is on the line. The starting quarterbacks, the starting receivers, starting running. The guy literally threw everybody under the bus. And then last but not least, he said, oh, yeah, and my job's on the line,
too. Oh, yeah, just by the way, you know, I will say my job is on the line. Just going to throw it out there, put myself above my players. No, I put myself last before my players. So, yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Of course, I'll ask you this question about Notre Dame and everything like that. You heard everything that was Notre Dame gets hyped up this, Notre Dame gets hyped up that, but they always seem to disappoint every coach they bring in. Like it was Ty Willingham. Who was the coach before
Charlie
that?
Weiss.
Charlie Weiss. There we go. Charlie Weiss after Ty Willingham. And then this Brian Kelly comes in, and he had a very not-so-graceful exit from his former team. And now he's with Notre Dame, and he's in the hot seat. It's... When has Notre Dame really, really been that high up to where they got to have this type of coaching situation, this amount of pressure? Since Lou Holtz, maybe?
Who was the quarterback that was drafted by the Cleveland Browns back in the mid-2000s?
Not Tim Couch, but that was before that. Tim Couch was early 2000s.
I'll have to look it up, but it was when... It was when Notre Dame contested with USC in the mid-2000s. This is when Ty Willingham was the coach. This was before Charlie Weiss left after a successful tenure as the offensive coordinator for New England Patriots.
Perhaps he should have stayed.
Perhaps he should have stayed, yes. But the money in college football, you can't turn that down. LSU, I think, fired the wrong guy in Les Miles, whereas I think Notre Dame, and this is just my personal and humble opinion, if they fired Brian Kelly, I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep over it, because, in my opinion, I call that karma, especially the way Brian Kelly treated his Cincinnati Wildcats when they were in the, I think it was the Orange Bowl several years ago when he took that illustrious job.
He's like, oh, you're playing the Orange Bowl? See ya.
Oh, screw you guys. I'm taking the contract.
All right, well, that's them. This is the Maryland Terrapins, who seems like they're okay right now under DJ Durkin, and everything that's been happening with them, their win over UCF in a double overtime. It seems like it was forever ago, Josh, but alas, it was only about a week and a half ago. And now everything, the wins, they're coming here for the Purdue Boilermakers. You want to say that Perry Hills is going to be 100% for the start, or are they going to go back and forth between him and their backup? It's going to be interesting to see this Saturday.
Well, with Hills coming back this coming week, and especially getting the extra week off from the injury he suffered against UCF, it is certainly a must-needed week off for Hills. I mean, even though Pigrom ran in the game-winning touchdown for Maryland, Maryland is probably thinking to themselves, yep, we like Tyrell Pigrom, but not now. We want to at least wait off till we can get him in his sophomore year, junior, and senior year to prove himself in Big Ten play. But before we get to the Purdue preview, let's look at the Big Ten schedule coming up for the Maryland Terrapins, because let's be honest, Ray, that's where everything gets interesting from this point out. Now, on the 1st of October, this Saturday, they do play the Purdue Boilermakers at 3:30 p.m. You can see that on the Big Ten Network. Actually, most of the games you'll see on the Big Ten Network this year.
How about that? You don't have to watch it on ESPN3 or some type of weird website through a weird feed or anything like that. You can actually watch it on cable television.
Or if you were like looking on basic cable, Channel 3 or Channel 4 or one of those TVs. Don't miss those days at all looking for college football games, especially looking on TV Guide.
Well, Channel 3 and 4, wow, what am I going to boot up the Genesis now?
Pretty much, yeah, instead of the HDMI 1 or HDMI 2. And also, after the Purdue game on the 8th of October, Maryland travels up to Happy Valley to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions.
On the 8th of October.
On the 8th of October. And on the 15th of October, the Maryland Terrapins will be going back home to take on Minnesota. And then the week after that, Maryland will be hosting another home game, and this is their first ranked opponent of the year.
And this will be primetime, 7:30.
Taking on the number 17 Michigan State Spartans in a game, Ray, where at this point in the season, since Michigan State's fallen off a bit, could be an upset alert game for the Spartans there.
And that could be another one of your high-profile coach firings.
Well, I mean, necessarily, I don't wish any coach to get fired at all, but if Maryland is on their way to getting a 5-1 start, or even, dare I say, a 6-0 start, maybe, just maybe, Michigan State better stay out of their way, because Maryland will be rolling during that time with momentum. And then, of course, after that, Maryland will be taking on Indiana on the 29th.
This is where you're probably going to see the more shellackings happening.
Yep, and it's just a long 2-week road trip there when they take on Indiana. And then on the 5th of November, we'll be traveling up to the Big House to take on the Michigan Wolverines.
Is it safe to call that a loss already?
You know, Michigan, they're going to have some high-profile games in the Big Ten coming up this year, especially Nebraska, Wisconsin, Ohio State. I think
you're playing Homer.
Yeah, I am. I am. I don't wish ill will and saying, oh, they'll survive. Nah, it doesn't look like that way. But you know what? That's the beauty of college football, because the guys that you think are going to go undefeated, sometimes they're going to have that one game where it slips away a little bit and you think maybe, just maybe. I mean, prime example, last year, Maryland played Ohio State on the road. And Maryland, for three quarters, was a better team than Ohio State. And then the fourth quarter came.
Yeah, you could say that a lot about the teams.
And that was the last time we saw Randy Edsall.
Yeah, you could say a lot about the teams that Ohio State played last year that they played down to last year that they could have easily lost the game. And so if that's the same team as last year, you could see a potential upset with Ohio State. But I doubt that. I think that's also going to be a guaranteed loss. So you've got Michigan and Ohio State are your two guaranteed losses right now. Then you go up against Nebraska.
Number 15, Nebraska, on the road, too. Now,
I don't want to call that a guaranteed loss just because of the way how young the season is right now. Maryland seems like they're kind of a workhorse team, and they could very well surprise you. But I do want to say that Michigan and Ohio State are the two teams that you will definitely be the losses that you get there.
And on the 26th of November, their final regular season game in the Big Ten, Maryland takes on Rutgers at home at College Park. And it's safe to say, you know, senior day, the final home game for Maryland, the final regular season game in Maryland, that could be a much hyped game for them, especially if it means having a 7-win or 8-win season under DJ Durkin in his first year. That could be very well hyped. Now, let's look at standings compared to this year and last year. Now, last year, Ray, in the Big Ten East, your top three were Michigan State at 7-1, Ohio State at 7-1, Michigan at 6-2. Of course, Ohio State and Michigan ended up facing each other for that illustrious title. And the Big Ten West, Iowa was 8-0, and they ended up losing in the Big Ten title game. Didn't go anywhere. Northwestern and Wisconsin. Now, luckily for Maryland, they don't have to face Northwestern or Wisconsin yet. And that's a big yet if Maryland happens to ride the Cinderella pumpkin carriage all the way to an illustrious first season under DJ Durkin. But needless to say, this year in Big Ten college football, you're looking at the teams Maryland is playing this year. You know, Wisconsin is undefeated. Michigan is undefeated. Michigan playing great this year. Penn State is 2-2. Michigan State 2-1. Rutgers 2-2. See, Penn State and Rutgers, you could say, are realistic wins for Maryland this year, especially with the way they've been playing. Ohio State is 3-0, but of course, Ohio State is known for playing the cupcake schedule before taking on Big Ten and moving on to 10-1, 9-2, 11-0 seasons. All right, Ray, let's just make the prediction right now for the Big Ten season. With, and if I'm doing my counting here real quick, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games left for Maryland this year. They're 3-0. Where do you see them finishing at the end of the year total win-loss record?
In terms of 9 games, 3-0 right now. I think they're a 6-win team, Josh.
So they're going to go an even 6-6.
Yeah.
So even if Maryland starts off 6-0, which is a high possibility against Purdue, Penn State, and Minnesota, you think that's where it cuts off right there after Minnesota?
I would say it cuts off right then and there.
You know what? I'm going to give DJ Durkin the benefit of the doubt. He has had great coaching tutelage in his coaching career as an assistant under Jim Harbaugh, under Urban Meyer. I will give Maryland the benefit of the doubt. I'll say they go 7-5. I see them starting at least 5-1 or 6-0, and then I see them possibly winning against Indiana or Rutgers. Against the ranked opponents, who knows at this point. But right now, I think they could end up winning their total games at the end of the year, especially with the unranked teams. Now, let's look at the game coming up against Purdue, though. Purdue this year, Ray, they're 2-1 on the year. As far as quarterback play is concerned, their starting quarterback, Blau, who has 946 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Perry Hills has 3 touchdowns, no turnovers yet. Let's see. Jones, the running back for Purdue, has 316 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Harrison for Maryland has 208 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Young, the leading receiver, has 19 catches, 232 yards, 1 touchdown. DJ Moore, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, points per game, Maryland's been averaging 41 points per game, Purdue 29.7 points per game. However, points allowed per game, and this is where Maryland is favored here, Maryland allowing 17 points per game, Purdue 25.3 points per game. Now, after adding up those statistics there and looking at this game being at College Park, and, of course, according to matchup predictors, people have Maryland predicted to win 73% over Purdue's 26%. How do you see this game favoring in Maryland against Purdue here?
Well, I think Maryland's going to get out of the gate early, and they're going to be able to put their foot on the throat of Purdue pretty well. It's Perry Hills. I think he's going to continue his play from UCF, and the injury won't shake him one bit.
Does he get his first turnover this week?
No.
No, not this week.
I think he's going to go in 4 games without a turnover. It's a bold statement here by one me on the Baltimore Sports free-for-all, but I think Perry Hills is going to continue to roll with his lack of turnover game, and we could see something very special from this guy, and all of a sudden he could get some national attention.
By the way, total yards allowed by Purdue this year, averaging 387.7 yards allowed by their defense this year, and 168 of those yards on average are in the running game. Do you think Maryland's going to establish the run early and see if they get successful with it against the Boilermakers?
Well, considering the fact that their offensive line is kind of shaky with their pass protection, and we could see they have to find some way to keep the run game going, and that would be very well the realm possibility.
All right, so let's do a final score here. How do you see it going out?
I'm going to go Maryland 45, Purdue 22.
I'm going to say Maryland 37, Purdue 28. It's going to get scary in the middle of the fourth quarter, but I think at the end of the day, DJ Durkin's defense will get it done with a possible turnover, leading to a fourth straight Maryland Terrapins victory.